Australian True Crime. The live show is coming.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi friends, we've got an extra little episode for you this week, but before we go on, could we ask for a favour? We're receiving a lot of one-star reviews at the moment as a consequence of our decision to include an acknowledgement of the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast is produced. If you think that's a shame, please show your support by taking the time to give us 5 stars and a nice review. We're sorry to ask, but we had such great feedback to Uncle Jack's story, we thought you might not mind. Okay, on with the show. The reason we have an extra special, extra episode this week is that Emily found herself on the phone with a beautiful woman by the name of Sandra Charlton, who is the cousin of Vicky Arnold. Of course, Vicky was one of the women who was featured in this week's main episode of Australian True Crime. Vicky was, in fact, the woman who was accused of murdering her best friend, Julianne Lay, before killing herself. Until her dedicated family and a local journalist, Robert Reed, launched a tireless campaign to clear her name. If you've ever wondered what it feels like for a normal family to be caught up in one of those headline-grabbing stories, you're about to find out.
How many years apart were there between you and Vicky?
Okay, well, Vicky was born in 1963 and I was born in 1964. She was born in October. I was born in September, so less than a year apart.
And did you spend a lot of time together growing up?
We did once, as Vicky's father was getting sicker, we did, maybe even a bit before that. But my memory, I guess, is mostly when Vicky's father was really sick. And we'd go to squash together. She would come with my family a bit, with my parents and my sister. And then once he passed, she did come on quite a few camping trips with us and her mum as well.
Yeah.
So she joined us on a few things because she lived in Cairns. I lived in Gordonvale, which is only 30 minutes away or less.
And how old was she when her dad passed away?
I think she was 13. I think I was 12.
So very, very young. It would have had a big impact on her.
It did. She was devastated. And I probably didn't know how much at that time how much she had affected her. But I know from my own self how I remember thinking, oh, how I would have felt if it was my father. Because I was with Vicky when her dad died and we had just seen him in hospital, and then he passed away, and then we came back in. So, yeah, it did. She loved her dad, really loved her dad.
So when these awful deaths happened of Julianne and Vicky, what did you think, knowing Vicky as you knew her, and then suddenly their bodies are found and it's claimed that Vicky had killed Julianne and then killed herself? What did that do to you and to the family?
I remember where I was when I was told. My mother told my sister and I at Vicky's funeral, just before the funeral, and we couldn't believe it. No one could believe it. In those days, you'd sort of trusted police, but just knowing Vicky, and we just could not believe it. Yeah, at the time, we thought she was murdered along with her friend, and then on the day of the funeral, we found out the police were investigating it as a murder-suicide, with Vicky being the perpetrator.
So what was Vicky like as she headed in through her teen years and into her early 20s that made you, everyone that knew her, think this absolutely couldn't have happened? What kind of woman was she?
She was really sensible. She was quiet. She really didn't, she wasn't out there. She was just seemed to be a normal run of the person, like the rest of the family.
Coming up on this special extra episode of Australian True Crime, Sandra talks about the most surprising things she found out during the years of investigations into her cousin's life. And don't forget, you can talk to Emily and I live on YouTube about this case and anything else true crime tonight at 8 p.m. Just head to our YouTube channel, that's Australian True Crime Podcast, at 8 p.m. and start typing. We'll be there and talking back. Coming up, Sandra talks about the many ways in which fighting for a loved one can cost a family. But first, Emily talks about media intrusion.
Did you have to put up with people gossiping or asking you questions?
As a family member, what's that impact on you in the follow-on from those events and when all the media was happening and things like that?
Yeah, in the beginning there were like outrageous stories of being in a like a lesbian relationship with Julianne, and that there were drugs involved, and there's all these sort of rumours going around, in which, you know, were unfounded at the time. There wasn't any rhyme nor reason to that going around, but it was just, I think, newsworthy. The general public didn't believe it either. So the people up in North Queensland, and I think generally everywhere, couldn't believe it, just the circumstances around her death. So it's not that people were gossiping. Most people, by and large, I would say, 99% of people were really supportive and couldn't believe it and would offer help, write letters, sign petitions, whatever. So, yeah, generally we had heaps of support from the public.
And so you were there to support Vida, who's Vicky's mum, and also Vicky had a brother, Edwin?
Is that correct? Yeah, yep. Yes.
And any other siblings?
Yes, Vicky's got a half-sister, Gail, and a half-brother, Edwin, because my Aunt Vida, she was married to Gordon initially, and he was killed in a car accident. So Auntie Vida's had a very tragic life.
Yeah.
Then she met Uncle Steve and got married, and they had Vicky. Then Uncle Steve died of cancer. And then, of course, all those years later, Vicky died, but my mother came on the scene before I did. My mother, who's the youngest of 10, Auntie Vida's younger sister, she sort of, she was the advocate for the family, and she contacted politicians and eventually contacted Robert, I think, and between the two of them, they tried to get other people to investigate you know, the situation, and eventually a second inquest. And just before the second inquest, my mother died, and on her deathbed, virtually, I said that I would see it through for her, and thinking at the time that a second inquest is all that would be needed. But we didn't get the outcome that we thought we would at the second inquest, which was devastating. It was the same outcome as the first inquest, which was that Vicky killed Julianne and then killed herself. So the same finding. The third inquest found that both Vicky and Julianne were murdered.
And just that time in between for you taking over the mantle from your mum, so you're the advocate for Vicky and for Vida and for the family, working with politicians, you had a lot of support. I mean, how did you find that, going from someone who probably hadn't done anything like that before? Because really, who really finds themselves in these situations? It's not something that a lot of people do. What was it like for you taking on that role?
Oh, I was definitely out of my comfort zone. And I just can't imagine how Auntie Vida would have managed, because she's older. But, yeah, I was out of my comfort zone dealing with media. And it's not like, you know, you got asked difficult questions with media and not always easy questions to answer. And, yeah, I wasn't used to that. I wasn't used to dealing with solicitors, let alone criminal lawyers. I wasn't used to dealing with police that weren't really friendly. My sort of interactions were with the police in the town where I live at, which is, you know, really, really positive interactions. So, yeah, it was really awkward. And finding out information, contacting politicians, writing things, it was definitely out of my comfort zone.
There was a politician in particular called Curtis Pitt who was really helpful. Describe what was the relationship like working with Curtis?
It was really good. Curtis is the local MP for Mulgrave, so Gordon Vale. He came and became involved and organised a meeting with the Attorney General, I think. And then the process was put in place to work towards the third inquest. And Curtis just really followed it up, where I guess we hadn't had that sort of commitment previous to that from politicians.
So sort of shows it just takes one person, doesn't it, to really believe in you, who's got the access and that can power it forward for you.
Yep, that's what happened. Definitely without Curtis, it wouldn't have progressed any further. Wouldn't have progressed any further without Robert.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing, the work he's done. And what was it like working with Robert to really just get to the truth of this story?
He really does his research well. So I've got faith in his research. I feel like he's almost like an older brother or a father figure to me now. We keep in touch. He's part of the family. Without his research, we wouldn't have found out the things that we found out, which added to the whole body of evidence supporting that Vicky didn't murder Julianne.
What was the biggest shock for you of the information that was unearthed during Robert's research and your work with him?
Things like the position of the hand and the gun. To me, it seemed obvious that she couldn't have pulled the trigger for that last shot. Things like that were around the gun and her body position. Things that sort of, I guess, shocked me that I found out later was, not that this helped with the case, but Vicky had her hands cut off on the day of the funeral. My aunt didn't know at the time. She found out later and she was, again, devastated. Another hit of bad news. And they did that to get fingerprints. Not sure why they couldn't do it with their hands attached. But anyway, that led to Vicky's body being exhumed and the hands going into the coffin. And that was really upsetting. There were so many upsetting things that happened along the way for my aunt, that she became used to bad news. And if she got more bad news, it's almost like she didn't react.
Yes. Yeah. Vida passed away a few months ago, didn't she?
Only about 3 weeks ago, actually.
Wow.
The 2nd of May.
Was Robert there with Vida?
I guess
Robert became like family to all of you.
He definitely did. Was Vida still feeling like the truth would come out about this case?
Did
well, the suspect that was named by the coroner was Alan Lay, who is Julianne's husband, and he committed suicide at the, I think it was at the end of last year. I know that Auntie Vida feared him, and that when I told her that he had committed suicide, she said, "I can feel safe now." And that's after all these years. So all these years, she hasn't felt safe, which is quite horrible because it's been a long time.
Yeah, especially since she's already had the trauma of losing Vicky, and then, you know, obviously the killer is still out there and she feels unsafe around Alan. Have you been contacted by other people who are being family advocates for people who have experienced, you know, loss through violent crime?
Probably a bit more isolated from that up here in North Queensland, but no, I haven't done that. But actually, I have found some sort of solace in listening to your program, actually, from listening to other family advocates. It seems to be so similar. The person is out of their comfort zone, but they've had to step up to try to get things done. And in other cases on your show, they haven't had a good outcome, or haven't had an outcome. At least we have. It's not just the emotional impact too. There's the financial impact. People probably don't think about solicitors' costs or travelling to inquests or travelling to different things. It's an accommodation. It all adds up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the emotional cost, which is of course the most.
Where were you mainly travelling to?
The first inquest was Atherton, second inquest Kansas. There were parts of the third inquest that we're in Brisbane. So it just, but every time there was an inquest, you had to take time off work, it's quite a bit of time to take off work. But I don't want to complain about that. That's just part of it.
And have you been well supported?
Yes. Oh, I've had letters. Letters. Just lots of verbal support. Yeah, definitely. I'm convinced that most people up here believe that Vicky didn't kill Julianne. I'm convinced of that.
Is there anything more to do?
No, I think this is it. It's been since Auntie Vida passed away just a few weeks ago. I think, this is it. I think for the family, there's nothing more we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky's name's been cleared.
Yeah,
was the main outcome that we were wishing for at the last inquest. Detective Kate Porcina, I think she's I've got a higher ranking now. She was particularly lovely and compassionate, and it was such a huge turnaround from what we experienced earlier on. Instead of being treated like criminals, she was so friendly towards us. So I just do want to make a note that at the third inquest, things turned around with regards to the interactions with police.
Thank you so much for your support of Australian True Crime. We'll be back with another episode on Thursday.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Australian True Crime, the live show, is coming.